Welcome to Blackhawk Church. My name is Chris. I'm one of the pastors on the teaching team here at Blackhawk. Welcome to those of you who are joining us online. Those of you are at the Upper House. Those of you at Blackhawk Fitchburg. Those of you who are watching in the gallery. And of course, those of you who are in the room with me right now. So welcome to you guys. And a special welcome to those of you who are joining us at Zion City Church. Today is the first in a series of three messages as we're going through this series called Race. And a funny thing happened on the way to this series. As we started advertising the series, I started getting contacts and emails and comments from people who are like really nervous about this series. And I think most of them are well-meaning. They're just trying to help me out. Like, people are really afraid I'm going to say something stupid or something like that. And so they're just like, you know, okay, come on. But others are like, oh my gosh, here we go, Blackhawk's becoming political. Oh yeah, I told you. You know, that kind of thing. So we get that too. And I thought, this is really funny. I haven't said anything in the series yet. And we're all of a sudden getting people, before the series even starts, saying these kind of things. So I'm thinking, wow, what's taking place here? So here's the deal. Just the whole idea of race in our community and in our country, it's a charged issue. I mean, people have passion about this issue. I mean, something is almost taking place almost every week in our country today, and it's really kind of disturbed kind of the balance of like normal life. And I'm not going to stand up here in this series and kind of go through one news event after another, like what happened in Missouri and things like that. So we all read the news, and so that's kind of a given. But I think the tension that we see, like from the news and everything, is causing some of this charged atmosphere in our community. So before I even go into the series and say like one thing, let me just kind of give you just a general philosophical mindset, like the way I think, the way our teaching team thinks about issues in our culture, not just race, but gay marriage, abortion, the environment, things like this, which can produce like charged reactions from people. So for those of you who are not familiar with Blackhawk Church, this might be new for you. Those of you from Blackhawk, you kind of get this. Our philosophy as we approach these complex issues is first, these are complex issues. There's no easy answer to these things. If you're looking for an easy answer to complex situations, you're not going to find it at Blackhawk Church, so we just don't believe that. We're a university community church, and we know that there are complex issues that are kind of going on, especially with race. This is a difficult topic. It's complex. People have a lot of passion for it. There have been racial disparity and racial injustice in our country. We have a long, long history of it. We have a long history of kind of failed solutions also. So we just know, we're humble enough and we go, okay, this is like complex. We're not going to solve an issue here like with three Sundays. So that's the first thing. Second, whenever we run into something in our culture, not just this, but any culture, in our culture that's difficult and complex, at Blackhawk, we go, okay, what does the Bible have to say about this? Let's first of all think biblically and theologically. At Blackhawk Church, we get our agenda from this book right here. So what does the Bible have to say about this? Is the Bible silent about any of these topics that cause tension in our culture? Well, let's first of all look at what the Bible has to say. And then third, we're not about politics here. So we don't believe the ultimate solution in, like, for example, the issue with race is going to be politically solved. So the problem with that is just the term race has almost been so politicized, it's almost like a political word. And that's just unfortunate because we're not talking about, you know, it's like why is that? I remember years ago, one of the pastors that used to work here, Tim Mackey, and I did a series on justice. And since we did a series on justice, we started getting emails from people like, okay, this is a political agenda. I'm like, what? Like, justice is in the Bible, you know, poverty is in the Bible. So it's not like a political issue. So the Bible speaks to these things. So at Blackhawk, we believe that we should elevate Christ above those things which can divide us as a culture. So I just wanted to say those things before, like, we ever even got into the series. So everybody, calm down, okay? Just calm down. It's me, okay? So, all right. So let's just calm down. So, where are we going to go in the series? What are we going to do, like, with 3 Sundays? How are you going to tackle this? Well, we want this series to primarily be about the Bible and theology. So the purpose of this series is to help us think biblically and theologically about this topic. So instead of like getting our agenda from, you know, like news sources and stuff like that, like what does the Bible have to say? So for the next 2 weeks, I've invited Dr. Charles Yu, who is one of our pastors on our teaching team. He's going to come in and address this issue biblically and theologically. Charles has talked on this subject before, and next week, the 22nd and the 29th, bring your Bibles. He is going to dig in some passages, and he's going to challenge us to think theologically about this topic. Trust me, your mind is going to expand as you listen to Dr. Yu, because he's just going to go right at it. So that's the primary purpose of this series. Charles is probably not going to even talk about black and white. He's going to talk about race in general, prejudice in general. It's a much bigger topic biblically than like black and white. However, in our culture, in Madison, Dane County, United States, whenever you say the word race, most people think of racial tension that is between black and white, and that's unfortunate, but that's kind of what happens in our world as we live in our world. Because there are disparities between black and white in our country, and especially in our area. A couple of years ago, there was a report that was put out that's kind of like the gold standard of reports for this disparity issue, and it's called the Race to Equity. This is available online, and I would encourage everybody to get this report. It's free, and it's online. Just go download it. So it's like the gold standard. So there's not a lot of debate about the statistics in this report. This report is looking at the disparities between black and white in our city. Lots and lots of data, and I didn't want to like drown us in data, so I just thought I would be kind of stay safe and just do a quote from the Wisconsin State Journal, and this is from a couple years ago when it came out. Blacks are 5.5 times more likely than whites to be unemployed in Dane County. 3/4 of the county's African-American children live in poverty, compared to 5% of white children. Half of all black high school students don't graduate on time. Stop. Let's just reread that sentence again. Half of all black high school students don't graduate on time, compared to 16% of white children. African-American children are 15 times more likely than their white counterparts to land in foster care. And black juveniles are 6 times more likely to be arrested than white juveniles. It is no secret that we've had these disparities, said Bob Jacobson, spokesman for the council. But the approach to tackling the problem hasn't been coordinated and comprehensive, which is really what's needed. Disparities are common across the United States, the report said, but the gap between quality of life for whites and blacks is much worse in Dane County, the epicenter for progressive politics in Wisconsin, and often ranked among one of the best places in America to live. Rural or urban, north or south, across the United States, Dane County is rock bottom when it comes to racial disparities, Jacobson said, adding, it's really jarring. Close quote. In other words, if you're white, you're part of the majority culture in Dane County, this is an awesome place to live. If you're black, not so much. So like, wow. So like as Christ followers, that should like, whoa. I mean, many of the black folks in our community, they're brothers and sisters in Christ. Like, whoa. This is like, wow. This Friday, November the 20th, I've asked some friends of mine in the community to come in and speak on race in our culture today. Here's a list of these folks. Kaleem Kerr, Alex G., Leda G., Michael Johnson, and Coley McNair. These are great people. The first thing you need to know about these folks, we're partnering with these people like already. So this, we're already in a partnership with these folks. Second thing, these are hard-charging Christ followers. Every one of them wake up in the morning thinking about Jesus, and they go to bed at night thinking about Jesus. These are all evangelical, Christ-following people. And some of these people are on the front lines of kind of racial tensions when they take place in our city. We could have made this like a citywide event, but we decided, you know what? We just want our friends to come in and talk to us. So I know people are watching online, so it's okay if you don't go to Blackhawk and you want to come. That's like no problem. But we wanted to just focus on Blackhawk and say, you know what? Can you guys just come and just speak to us here at Blackhawk and give us your heart? We're University Community Church. We believe that you get a solution side of things. You need to listen and learn. Are we humble enough to kind of discard our preconceived notions and actually listen to someone else? So that brings us to today. So that's like where we're going. So what are we going to do today? Well, I thought maybe the best thing to do would be to actually listen and to kind of join a conversation and like listen to some people who are from our community talk about their experience in our community. So it's kind of awkward. How do you have a conversation with like thousands of people, that kind of thing? So despite the awkwardness, I've invited a couple of friends to come and join me on the platform, and they do this at great risk to themselves because it's just difficult to have this conversation. But they are really good friends of mine. Please welcome to the platform, Collier and Myra McNair. Why don't you welcome them? Awesome. All right, it's great to have you guys at Blackhawk. So are you ready for all five services?
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. Welcome to Blackhawk. So Coley and Myra are pastor and first lady at Zion City Church. And I think we have a picture of Zion City Church on the screen. So Zion City Church, really a cool group of people. And it's really kind of cool. They are considering becoming a part of our denomination, the Evangelical Free Church of America. So that's like good news right there, isn't it? Serving that. Yeah. So because they're thinking about joining the EFCA, my wife and I invited Coley and Myra to join us at the national conference that was in California this last summer. So here's a picture of the four of us. And there were outside of San Diego on some pier. Kind of wish we were there right now, don't you? It's awesome. I look really white in that picture. What is it with that?
It was just the beginning of summer.
Yeah, that's the beginning of summer. You're so sweet. Okay, awesome. And you know, hey, dude, we're married to some good-looking women.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
We
better say that.
Yeah, you better say that. That's exactly right. So at any rate, so we're just happy to have you guys with us today. Tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, I was born in Muskegon Heights, Michigan, and I grew up in East St. Louis, Illinois, and graduated from high school in Tuskegee, Alabama. And then I followed my parents here to Wisconsin and made my way to Madison, Wisconsin to go to college. So pretty nomadic lifestyle for me.
Now, where did you go to college here in Madison?
Went to Edgewood okay. College, studied business, marketing, and management. And so, yeah.
Yep. Okay. Myra?
Born in Galveston, Texas, and then raised in Duluth, Minnesota. Yes, very different.
Did you hear that?
Very
people?
Different. Yeah.
They're all feeling sorry for you right now. That's right. Awesome. Yeah.
Went to school there, graduated high school, and did my undergrad work all in Duluth, majored in biology, and then married this man and relocated to Madison, Wisconsin, where he lived. And then I did my master's work in marriage and family therapy at Edgewood College.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so that's what you do for a living, right?
Yes.
So, yep. Counselor.
Yep. Yeah, marriage and family therapist at Journey Mental Health Center. Right now I'm working with children and specializing in childhood trauma.
Right. So this is like an intimidating couple for me. So like, those of you who are from Black Hawk Church, you know I have like no business sense at all. So this guy's got a business head on his shoulders and she's a counselor. Every time she listens to me and shakes her head like that, I'm like, she's figuring me out right now. This is like awesome. So at any rate. And really, I think it's because Coley has this business head and this background, which this is kind of the background of like how we met each other. So he's always researching, digging, and stuff like that. So a couple of years ago, Coley gave me a call, like out of the blue, and we didn't know each other. We had some of the same friends, but we didn't know each other. And so Coley called me and said, you know, I'd like to just take you out to lunch. And I thought, okay. So like, what's up with that, you know? And then he said something like I want to pick your brain or something.
You know, it's when I reached out to Chris, I know we always hear stories, particularly, you know, white folks, about what white folks ought to do, you know, about this issue of race. And you know, I thought to myself, well, man, what can I do? You know, and obviously pastoring a ministry, and there was a lot that I figured I could, you know, learn from you. And but the main thing is, you know, you're different from me. I'm like, man, hey, I need to do my part too as well. So
yeah, and I told you to have low expectations.
Yeah, you sure did. Yeah. He tells me that all the time.
Yeah. And you're not disappointed, right?
No,
yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's so low, you know.
Yeah, it's so. It's so low, right? Yeah, you can only go up from there. That's right. That's right.
It's funny, guy.
So anyway, you can tell we're friends. So we hit it off right away. So then we just started to lunch like once a month or so at a local restaurant. And I'm not going to say the name of the restaurant because I make other restaurant owners mad when I do that. So at any rate, you guys can guess. So we have been and just kind of hit it off. And it's been really good to be with you, man.
Oh, man.
So you told us a little bit about your background. Tell us about your family. Myra, tell us about your family.
Oh, yes. We have four beautiful children. Our oldest is, her name is Zaya. She's 13 years old. And Ian, with a little dog sweater on. He's 8. And Amira, she's 7. I call them my Irish twins there. And then the 3-year-old who will not be potty trained still is named Isaac. And the 3 older children attend St. James Catholic School. And then Isaac attends the One City Learning Center.
Okay, awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. It's great, great family. And we've been over to their house a couple times now. It's just awesome. So, Coley, tell us how you became the pastor of Zion City.
Kicking and screaming, you know, it was not my dream. I grew up in a Christian home, and my father had an entertainment background, and so you know, we were born into, you know, that atmosphere, and music was our thing. And my brothers and I, we sang, we played. Instruments. We thought we were the Jackson 5, you know. And so that was our thing. That's what we wanted to do. And you know, I remember my dad coming to me in 2006 and say, "Hey, will you consider assuming the leadership of the ministry?" My dad is a pastor, and you know, I thought about it after some counsel and prayer. I said yes.
Yeah.
You know, so
awesome.
Yeah.
And awesome. He's an awesome musician, actually. So here's the thing, and I obviously know the answer to this question, but Coley is bivocational, and there are like 26 African American congregations in Madison, and I'd say 90% of the pastors, right, are bivocational.
Yes.
So he, what that means is he's like a full time job. Besides being the pastor of Zion City. So tell the folks what you do, like, in your, like, day job.
Well, yeah, I work for the City of Madison, a Department of Civil Rights. I've been there for 10 years now. And I work as a contract compliance specialist. And so we have this saying in our office that we don't actually have any money, but we mess with everybody else's money.
Dude, that's a little political there, yes, right there. That's, yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, there you go. So, and he travels around the state. He has a fair amount of authority, and there you go. So everybody, let's get on the same page here, okay? So he looks at me and goes, oh, you're busy, you know, big church and all that kind of stuff. But I'm not busy like these guys are, okay? So they have a family. He has a regular job. It's a difficult job. And both of them, difficult job. And then they're also leading a local church. So if you think you're busy, these folks are really busy. So when I ask you, Coley and Myra, to come on the platform with me, could you tell folks like what was in your mind and what you said to me as soon as I asked you to come on? What did you say?
Well, the first thing I thought was low expectations, you know, I guess. But no, really, I don't want pity, you know. This issue of race, you know, I don't want anybody to feel guilty. I'm not trying to take advantage of anyone. In fact, you know, I feel it's my own pride that wants to just ignore the issue altogether, you know. Wow. And I say things to myself, you know, haven't we gone beyond this yet? You know, that the thought of talking about this or thinking that there's a problem or whatever the opinions that people may have of me frustrates me. And, you know, I just feel that, you know, we should be able to get past this already. And so, you know, as I sit here, you know, those are things that I think about, I think to myself. And, you know, and so really that's it. I don't want any special treatment, but it's a problem. It continues to be a problem. And so the only way to get past it is to deal with it, to acknowledge it.
Yeah, let me just talk for a second, because, I mean, I hope everybody can hear what's happening in his heart. So this is the nature of our friendship. So it's like, hey, would you like to... And he just pushed back right away. Would you like to be on this platform? He just pushed back right away. I don't want anybody feeling sorry for me. Everybody hear that? But this is a real issue in our community. Brothers and sisters in Christ. And I said, no, I want you on the platform. I want the people of my church, I want them to listen. I want them to learn. One of the things that has struck me the most about our friendship is that we would just be talking about, you know, something, whatever, and all of a sudden a story would come out. Like we talked, we're men, so we'd like, you know, telling me about your dad and stuff. So we had a conversation once about, I told him about my dad and stuff like that. And so then he told me about his dad. And then I met his dad, and he's a cool guy, and he's told me this story. Could you tell that story again, Coley, about how your dad taught you how to walk down the street?
You know, it's funny because, you know, I've had some amazing conversations with my dad, and I remember, you know, having a discussion about, you know, when I'm walking, if I'm, you know, if I happen to be walking behind a white woman, that it's important to get in the line of sight or to do something so that she knows that I'm there. And, you know, it's this idea of, you know, wanting to make sure that she understands she's safe. I'm not up to anything. You know, I'm not trying to grab a purse or anything like that. Or and so, you know, I remember just maybe going across the street or doing something just to, or slowing around or waiting, you know, because it's, you know, race gets in your head. It's something that's, you know, it's unconscious, subconscious, and I'm always mindful of my surroundings, always thinking about the perceptions or what is it that someone thinks about me.
Yeah, absolutely. And when he told that story to me, I mean, like, my jaw was just like, and he could tell I was like, and he goes, what's wrong? Didn't your dad ever tell you how to walk around white women? Huh. No. So really, really interesting. And, you know, just, well, people are afraid of you. So, like, here's how you walk down the street. Cough or something.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's again, it continues to be an issue. And you know, for example, when you go into a store, you know, you're Chris. You know, when I go into a store, I'm Black. And it's that type of thing, and that eats at you, yep. You know. And you know, I just hate the fact that in my mind that's something that's a reality, and you try to find ways to escape that. Again, I'm just, you know, I'm a guy who likes to kind of make my own way, you know, and I want to be known for my ability to do things well, or you know, I don't want people to assume, yep, that I'm a certain way or I'm something that I'm not. And so it's not until I get a chance to engage people that I get a sense of what they may feel about me. And it's always refreshing when you feel that the smile is genuine, or people, you know, that it feels natural and warm versus these ideas in my head that, you know, hey, who is this guy? What is he up to?
Right. Myra, talk a little bit about your experience here in our community.
Yeah, so far my experience has not been that much different than in Duluth, Minnesota. Growing up, I grew up with my mom, who raised me. I'm biracial. My mom is white, my dad's Black. So from a very young age, I was able to see how privilege looked in white privilege, and just how there was other privileges that my cousins and my friends and even my mother had that I didn't have simply just because they were white. There wasn't a lot of exposure to dolls or magazines that I could look at that would reflect who I was. And then even in school, like, not being taught, you know, what were some things in history that, you know, African Americans or people who look like me, what did they contribute to history? And so being in Madison and raising my four children, I think there's been a lot of changes just that our culture has made in a whole, and it's really great. I think that I still see some of the same struggles that my kids deal with that I dealt with as a kid. Zaya, my oldest child, right now is the only African-American girl in her class. So all of her friends in her class are white, and she'll go to sleepovers and they'll tell her, you know, we can play with the pink lipstick, but you can't because you can't wear it because that doesn't look good on your skin.
Yeah.
You know, and then the hair topic is always, you know, like, people not understanding, you know, why her hair is different. For both of my girls has always been just like a complaint, an ongoing complaint of, you know, being made fun of.
Yep.
I've been grocery shopping or doing other things in Madison where people have, strangers have just kind of felt my son's hair just, you know, reaching over to his head. And I know it's out of curiosity. I wouldn't think that any of the kids or people that have even done that are necessarily racist. I think it's just more microaggressions and just kind of what the culture is teaching us as a whole.
Yeah, yeah. It's tough enough just to be a middle schooler or a high schooler anyway.
Absolutely.
Just anyway.
Yeah.
And then, you know, add some kind of a racial thing, and that's even more difficult. Mm-hmm. Yeah, obviously, you know, this is, the whites are a majority culture here, and as they experience life, this is their community, and they are a minority culture. And I don't even like to use that term, but I mean, it's just kind of the reality. Many of us have traveled, and we have experienced being different from the people around us. If we've gone to another country, those of us who traveled to Africa or something like that, you go into a store in Nairobi, if you're white, and automatically you realize. And it's kind of exotic, and it kind of feels great and everything, you know, like on your vacation, you know?
Yeah.
And you realize that being that different, they experience that like all the time, in Madison, every day, 24/7. And they're not on vacation here, okay? This is our community. And it's difficult when I think about the challenges that you guys are faced with. Yeah, anything else you want to say?
Well, you know, I think about, you know, the thought, because when we, as we've talked about this, you know, again, I kind of refer to myself, you know, can we just get beyond this? And you hear that, and I'm sure that people get frustrated with this, you know, issue continuing to resurface. And the reason why, because it's a part of American culture. It's in our fabric. It's in our DNA. We're hardwired, even unconsciously, to think a certain way. And there's this saying about walking in another man's shoes. You don't know what it's feel like. And I was talking to a friend, and he says something to me. He said, you know, any race or any privilege that a race has over another race is invisible inside that race.
Wow.
You have to step outside of it to see it. You know, it's almost like you have to have an out-of-body experience in order to understand what it really feels like. And you can take that and apply it to any situation. And it didn't have to be race. It could be anything. But in order to be able to relate to what someone's going on or what's going on in someone's life, you know, you almost have to step outside of yourself in order to see clearly, oh, you know, even ourselves.
Yep.
I mean, you know, that's why this is so amazing, Chris, that the fact that we can have this conversation, and the only way you move past it is you know, we have to quit repeating the things that we've done in the past. I mean, whether it's structural or systemic, that's the only way past it. You know, we just have to deal with it. We can't ignore it. And all of us can relate to that, some issue or something that we have in our lives that, man, until you deal with it, it's just there.
Yeah, and especially as Christ followers, we ought to be leading the way here.
Yes.
In terms of getting
yes.
on the solution side of this. Yes. Quit depending upon politics.
Yes.
And we ought to be leading the way
yes,
here.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
I've got a friend named Larry Osborne, and you read something that Larry wrote recently, and I thought it was profound. We brought it and put it on the screen. Why don't you read that?
Oh, Chris, I love this. Unity that insists on uniformity isn't a unity at all. It's a cheap counterfeit. Genuine and biblical unity is found in the midst of real and passionate differences that we set aside in the recognition that the differences we have are nowhere as important as the King we serve. And the reason why I love that, because the book that we were reading has nothing to do with race.
Yeah.
Nothing at all. It's just about unity and building a team and leadership. But when we talked about this and you said, hey, we're going to talk, something about that just jumped out at me.
Right.
And it's so powerful. It's so true. In other words, we don't have to all like the same things.
That's
you know,
exactly.
We don't. That's the beauty of difference. I mean, you know, even if we're the same color, you know, things that you don't like about people that look like you.
Yeah,
and so,
absolutely.
You know,
but, there's plenty of people here don't like the color. No, plenty of people. Sorry. I had to get that out.
Yeah. But you know, we're able to set that aside because there's something greater.
Yeah.
And we're called to something
yeah.
greater.
Yeah. This whole idea of being colorblind, like there's no differences, that's just not good. So, you know, we want to, like, the differences are good. And especially, God's created it. So it's like, didn't do a good job, God. You know, I mean, like, he's created us to be different.
Yes.
I hate to do this, but we're running out of time. Isn't this awful? I want to just keep talking with you guys. But we have more services the rest of the day. Keep doing that. So there's a passage that we thought we would put on the screen. Coley was like, I think we ought to have a Bible passage on the screen. So I said, hey, that's a good idea. So at any rate, so we you can open up your Bibles if you want, but we're just going to read this. Myra, if you want to read this for us.
As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all in all.
Great passage. The background of that passage is the tensions, the cultural tensions between Jews and Greeks in Ephesus. And there was rioting and they were killing each other. And then Paul has that passage right there after this great prayer that he prays in chapter 3. And I love this part. It reminds us that we're, you know, in one body and we serve one Lord. But I love that part about be humble and gentle. You know, like we ought to have like a march. Be humble, you know, or be loving, you know, that kind of thing. Because I think it's that's going to lead us.
Yes.
We have to lead with relationship, or we're not going to go anywhere.
No.
I don't know. You want to make any comments, either one of you, on that passage?
Again, Chris, we're just so thankful, so excited to be here. I mean, this is it. And my hope is that you know, when you go to your life groups or in your cooler conversations or what have you, that we're able to have this conversation, or that you invoke the Lord, you know, in the conversations, and understand that just being able to talk about it, to be able to develop those relationships, God is looking for us. You know, He's looking at us to make the difference, and we're just thankful. I mean, there's so much. There's too much, you know, that we can't cover it all.
Yeah.
But if it could, if we're igniting something, if this encourages someone to disarm themselves just a little bit more,
right,
then that's important.
Yeah. So that's why we're having the Madison and Race Forum this Friday. We invite you to come to that. Coley will be here, and some other friends, partners that we have. Again, these are evangelical Christ followers who are part of our community. We want to give them an opportunity to talk to us. It's not citywide kind of thing. It's just a Blackhawk church. And again, we're University Community Church, you guys. We should learn, and we should listen. And I just want to give my brothers and sisters an opportunity to help us learn and listen to them. One of our friends, Michael Johnson, is going to be here Friday. And he is director of the Dane County Boys and Girls Club. And he said recently to me, he said, think about it like this. Who's going to attend your funeral? Who's going to attend your funeral? Is there anybody that's going to attend your funeral that looks different from you? Can you think of anybody? Those are the people who attend your funeral, supposed to be the people that like you. You know, and depending on the weather, how many people are going to actually show up at your funeral? Anybody there going to be different from you? Or they everybody look the same? So for some of us, we go, well, no, I know there's going to be people that are going to show up that look different from me. And we're going like, awesome, that's great. You're already in a relationship with someone who is not of this, you know, the same race or the same culture. That's great. But some of us are like, no, everybody there is going to look like me. I say this is a challenge, okay? So just look around, you know, before you're dead. Like, look around. Who do you work with? Who do you go to school with? Just reach out. You know, learn from our brother here. He picks the phone up and gives me a phone call. Just cross a line. Reach out. If we're going to do anything in our community, it's not through political action. It's through building relationships. Building loving relationships so we can be friends and know one another in our community. And what better way to do that when the Holy Spirit is guiding us and directing us and building relationships with Christ followers? It's awesome. I got to bring everything to a close. I hate to do that. You guys have been absolutely wonderful. Let me pray. And Coley, would you mind praying for us as a close? Pray. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for my friends, and they're busy people, and they've taken like a whole day out of their life to be with us. We pray, Father, for Zion City Church. Would you bless that church? Bless that congregation? What a great group of folks. We pray, Father, you bless them. They're in a new facility now, so it's difficult to get set up every week. We know that at Blackhawk Fitchburg really well. So we just pray that you give them energy to work together, and as they work together, that you just bind them together as they work to try to reach this community for Jesus Christ.
Lord, there's so much power in this place. This place and its sheer glory mirrors in many ways the glory of your majesty. Yet through your eyes, it's only a glimpse, a small glimpse of a much bigger world, filled with people in search of a saving, loving, compassionate, caring God. You once gave me in a song years ago this question: is heaven the only place we'll see a world of harmony? Maybe the world will continue to try to chip away and figure out what the answers are. But as for your church, your people, the most important people on the face of the earth, you expect us to lead the way. Black Hawk has so much to offer, so much potential, and an opportunity to do those greater works you said we would do, to be a true reflection of what heaven will look like, a big machine with a heart. And so, Lord, we pray this prayer. We believe it and we thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you, brother. Awesome. Thank you, honey. Brother. Keep back. Yeah.